Melissa.
I'm Lizzie.
Welcome back to Sisters Through the Savior. Please don't mind my voice right now. I'm getting over a cold and I sound like I'm dying, but it's okay.
She sounds good.
Okay.
I hope you guys had a blessed week.
Yeah.
Well, we did release our first episode on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. So that was really exciting. We were really nervous.
Yeah. If you haven't watched it, should go check it out. We were just kind of talking about our testimonies in the beginning, and then we got into just a lot of random things.
Yeah,
just what was on our hearts, what we felt called to talk about. But yeah, this time we're gonna get a little more specific, I guess. Gonna talk about sin.
Yeah, and the struggle.
All right. Okay, so do you want to start out just what is sin?
Yeah. I would say sin is really just to act against God's will and his moral principles and just the way it affects us.
It's just separation from God. Like, when you sin, yes, it's wrong, like, by definition, like, in there, but you're also going to feel it. It's not just something that you can look at and say, like, oh, I did this, but it's just, I'll fix it. Like, no, you're going to feel it and you need to repent from that. It's not just going to pass you by.
And another thing, God's not going to condemn you. He will convict you out of love, like any father would, you know. And he wants you to come to him with that sin. You don't have to fix it, you know, on your own. He wants you to bring it to him, and he will work through it with you.
Yeah. So, yeah, we just kind of wanted to get into first the idea of, like, on your walk with Jesus, falling into sin, because we're all sinners. We can't sit here with confidence and say, I'll never sin again.
Yeah.
We can say, I'll try to never sin again, but that's just kind of how it is. And there's a difference between that and habitual sin, and choosing sin, and living in it.
But some may argue, you know, that they don't feel like it's wrong, but that doesn't mean that it's not, just because you don't feel it. And that goes with that analogy. It was a man talking to a pastor, and he was saying, oh, well, how much does sin weigh? 10 pounds, 20 pounds? Like, I don't feel any of it. And the pastor had said, well, if you put a 200-pound weight on a dead corpse, can that corpse feel the weight? No, because he's already dead, and so doesn't excuse that it's not there. He just can't feel it. And
yeah, and that's why we always say, or not even we, Alyssa will always remind me that it's good that I'm feeling convicted, because that means I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I'm not just doing things that are wrong, like, for me and in God's eyes, and just choosing it. I kind of can feel that conviction, even if I'm in denial, which,
but that's a really good thing.
Yeah,
feeling that conviction, that's, it's so beautiful. It's how you know, like, God is working within you.
And it's important. If you don't feel that conviction, I don't even want to say that you're necessarily too far gone, because I don't even feel like that even exists sometimes. You know what I mean? But the idea that maybe you need to take a step back and just look at your life as a whole. Like, instead of being like, I need to stop sinning, it's like, I need to chase Jesus.
Yes.
And through that, you're gonna not want to sin. Because I feel like a lot of, in, like, the religious world, I don't mean that in an offensive way, but you know what I mean. Like, it's this idea of, oh, well, this in the book here, it says it's wrong, so that means I can't do it. Which, even though that's true, that's not the most effective way to go about it. Like,
yeah, and if you're focusing on not trying to sin, you're most likely going to sin even more.
Yeah.
That's why he wants you to just fixate your eyes on him. And he will cleanse you. He will take care of it.
And if you're focused on Jesus, living for Jesus, following the commandments, all these things, you are way less likely to fall into it versus focusing on sin. I don't think that should ever be your focus, obviously. But yeah, no. It's just crazy. This is kind of dumb. I hope no one thinks this is dumb, but genuine question. Could you, like, if you were so hyper-focused on not sinning, and you're like, I can't do this, I can't do that, and you almost kind of take it away from, I love Jesus, so I can't do that, but you're literally just, like, so focused on not sinning, could you... This is gonna sound so dumb. Could you make an idol out of not like trying not to sin, like you get so focused on it?
I feel like,
in a sense,
because maybe your heart wouldn't be in the right
position. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Like, even though you're doing the right thing, it could still be...
If your heart isn't in the right place, like, you're only doing it because you know you have to, not mm-hmm. because you don't want to. Mm-hmm. Like, we should not want to sin because we don't want to hurt Jesus because we love him.
Yeah, not because...
Not because it's in a rule book or...
Mm-hmm. Or because they... come down on you so hard, you have people making you feel judged and condemned. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just where's your heart posture at?
Yeah,
that's like a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it also goes to show, also, like, when you're in a relationship with someone and you're telling them, you know, I love you, mm-hmm. but I'm actively cheating on you and I'm doing all these things to hurt you, but you're telling them you love them, I feel like it goes the same with
Jesus.
Following Jesus. Yeah. You're telling him, you know, you love him, but you're not, you know,
you're actively
trying to be in his word, or just actively doing things that you know deep down may not be right, but you're still doing it. And so I feel like it kind of coincides
with that. It's like, yes, your salvation is dependent on, you know, you believe in the resurrection, Jesus the Son of God, all of those things, the mm-hmm. levels to it, but you have to remember that faith without works is dead.
Mm.
So there's just like that level to it.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't notice.
A little Jesus candle.
Yeah. Little prayer candle.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So it's important to understand too how God approaches us when we do sin. And the idea that he is really the only person who can truly judge our sins. He is the ultimate judge. Because Jesus lived a perfect life, and none of us can say the same. Right. None of us. And we just wanted to highlight a story in the Bible that kind of showed that point we're making, if mm-hmm. you want to get into it.
Yeah, it's John chapter 8, when the Pharisees bring an adulterous woman to Jesus, and they were going to stone her. So he goes on. So the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such woman. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, why are they? Women, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and sin no more." And I feel like that just shows you who Jesus is. He's not condemning her. He's just letting her know, I forgive you, but don't continue going down that path.
Yeah. Which is important. I always think to myself of that last line of like, but sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like we've all had moments in our life, unfortunately, where we've been like, oh, well, he's going to forgive me anyways. And you kind of abuse that. Mm-hmm. Like we were saying earlier, the analogy to a cheating partner.
Yeah.
Of like, the love is still there. And even though it is, you don't want to abuse that. Just because someone's going to forgive you doesn't mean you should hurt them anyways. Mm-hmm. Because there is a point where, not that the forgiveness goes away, but how much weight does it hold at that point? Like, I've been thinking a lot recently, which sometimes the way I use this analogy to justify my own actions is not good, but when Jesus was flipping the tables, it's like we always see him in this like peaceful manner, but when it got to a point where they really took it too far, he had to be mm-hmm. not necessarily mean, but assertive, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just always think about that, like the times where I've sinned, where I've truly felt the worst is when I knew it was wrong, which is like the worst type, And I did it anyways. And even though he still has grace with me, it's not the same grace as when I first came to Christ and I was, like, laying all my stuff down. Mm-hmm. And he truly, like, saw me in that point versus now. It's almost like, I feel like he kind of looks at me, he still has grace and love, but he's, like, a little bit more confused in terms of, like, you know better. Like, mm-hmm. it's not even anger, it's, like, disappointment, I mm-hmm. guess. And that's what hurts.
Right. And it's also one thing to be sinning and not necessarily knowing that it's wrong, but mm-hmm. once you find out the truth and you do feel that and you continue,
it's worse. Kind of, yeah. I don't know where I had read this. I wish I had written it down, but just talking about how, like, you know, everyone says that all sins are equal, and I've heard people really debate this, which I didn't even know was, like, a debatable topic, but some people were saying that's not true and all these things. And one of the just theories I've heard, I'm not trying to say this is true, I'm just trying to that the worst, not the worst, but, you know, one of the things that could make necessarily one sin worse than another is when you know it's wrong. Mm. Like, when you're knowingly doing it. Mm. One of the differences is, like, between choosing sin versus falling into it, or just basically what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
So I remember being in my last relationship, and I wasn't as strong, you know, in my faith. I was reading the word and I was getting to know Jesus more. And I remember one night when we were actively living in sin, I would say, I got convicted out of nowhere with, how do I word this? You know, with the whole sex before marriage thing, because I used to think, realistically, who's gonna wait in this day and age?
Which is a lie from the enemy. Yeah, but anyway,
definitely, because it's actually the bare minimum.
I literally said that last
literally
night.
Literally the bare minimum. And so I had never came to terms with it before, because I was like, oh, like, they say that, but I didn't necessarily understand the true meaning behind it. And it wasn't until one night when God just really convicted me with it out of nowhere. And I have never ever felt so awful before with how it felt. Mm-hmm. Like, it really hurt me to think that I was hurting Jesus. And I was like, wow, I can't do this anymore. And
that was crazy.
It was out of nowhere. It was so strong. I remember thinking, I'm going to have to tell him that I can no longer do this. And I remember just kind of arguing back with God. And I was saying, what if, he's not okay with it? I'm going to have to accept that. And I remember thinking, I would rather choose God over something that is going to take me away from him, because people are always going to leave you, but he never will. And I remember coming to terms with that, and I was so prepared to have to break up with him if he wasn't going to be okay with it. And I think just how God saw that I was really just trying, and it ended up being okay, and it all worked out. But I just remember coming to that realization, knowing that I can't continue to do that, because it was wrong.
Yeah. I had a similar experience. Guys, I get uncomfortable, but just being like, mine was a little different. Like, I had the conviction, but I got it in a really different way than you. Like, I was just kind of living my life, and out of nowhere, I was like, I feel so distant from God. Like, my prayers didn't feel the same. Because when I pray, like, I, most of the time, if I'm being like, really in it and not just going through the motions, like, I physically feel it. Like, it's super weird. Anytime I like am really coming to Jesus, I feel like, I don't know, this like something like chilled down my whole body. It's really weird. And I hadn't had that in like 5 months, which is like concerning for me. And I don't know, I just wasn't reading, I wasn't in my word, I didn't want to be around Christian community because I was scared of being convicted. I literally was avoiding Alyssa subconsciously, it's not like I was like whatever, but yeah, just I was even avoiding going to church sometimes. And I think that's when I was like, oh, like I'm actually living in habitual sin and I'm so blind to it, because I really had to take a step back and be like, okay, I'm separated from God, so there's some type of sin in my life that is taking control. What is it and why is it? And it's funny because I had cut out honestly a lot of sins, like habitual sins before that, just getting rid of some addiction problems and anger issues and jealousy and gluttony. Like I was really focused on all these things, but at the same time I'm actively choosing to fall into one of the most damaging sins, like the only one that's inside the body.
Right. Yeah, they say like of course back to what you said, like no sin, I feel like every sin is kind of equal, but this is the only sin that's against your own body. And he says that.
Yeah. Which is just, yeah, I don't know. I feel like all sins have their own weight, but for some reason this one felt really heavy. And I don't know, it's just, it's like an interesting part of my life to be attacked. Because I was thinking about this a lot last night when I was driving home, and I was like, I've always wanted to have a family, have a husband, and all these things. And just to have love, like that's a really, I feel like a lot of people desire that, and that's normal, but it's an easy part of my life to be attacked, like extremely easy. And I'm also someone, this is another thing we have been talking about recently, I don't want to speak this over myself, so I'm going to kind of do past tense, but I used to really struggle with self-control, and I still do, but it took over my life for like 5 years. And I remember when I was trying to be set free from all this stuff, I was reading about, you know, the fruits of the spirit, and obviously one of them is self-control. And I was like, wow, I really need that. Yeah. Like, please, Jesus. And I went to church with Alyssa, and this one of the members at the church we went to prayed over me. And he was like praying over my sobriety, and then he was like talking about self-control. And I was like, that's so crazy. Like, he kept mentioning it, and I had that in my mind the night before, so I was like, okay, I'm thinking something correct, like, and then now, like, over a year later, I've really realized that almost all of my sins, like, the habitual ones, mostly, lead back to the idea of self-control, like, and I don't spend enough time, or I didn't spend enough time back then praying for the gift of self-control. I instead was like, I need to stop doing this and I need to stop doing that, which is true, but it would be kind of fleeting. Like, I'd stop in my own strength, I guess you could say, but I would go right back because my strength is not sustainable the way that Jesus's is. And like, I didn't go to the root of the issue. I didn't go to my foundation, God, to fix it. I would go to the top and like cut off the top of it, but it's like, you're still doing these things.
But I feel like it's good because you were acknowledging it yourself, and you were bringing it to him. And if you're just honest and you're bringing it to him, and you're acknowledging your sin, that is, I think, the first step to getting down to the root problem.
I agree. And that's another thing I was crying out about when I was driving. I was like, I need your help. Like, I struggle with these things, and like, I need supernatural deliverance, okay?
And that's what he wants. He wants you to, those are the prayers that he wants from you, where you literally just, I need help, and that's what he wants, because he's a loving father. He wants to help you. He knows your struggles. He knows how you feel.
Yeah.
So I just think that's very beautiful.
Yeah. Do we want to get anything else, like, we've experienced? I have one more, Kaya.
Yeah.
I really struggle with my anger. Since I was young, you've seen me. She's seen me at my worst.
Liz here has came a long way, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
If you don't think the Holy Spirit is real, I need you to watch, like, a time lapse of my life, okay? I promise you it is. Like, I work a little ice cream job in an area of Florida where some people are not the kindest. Which I shouldn't specify it to one area, but in the specific area, it's normalized to let your unkindness out. And I've worked here on and off since I was 16, And when I was 16 years old, I had a lot of anger towards just everything, even God. Like, I was just so lost and deep in my addiction problems. And I would just take it out on the customers, and, like, they would say something to me, and I would say something back, and, oh, my gosh, I just would, like, air people out in the middle of the ice cream store. Like, it was unnecessary. Thank you. Like, anyways, I would throw out their orders in front of them, only if they – let me not justify it, but it's not – hold on. It's not like I went into the store being like, I'm going to ruin someone's day today. No, guys, I swear. I didn't have bad intentions, but I was still sinning. Like, I would just retaliate, which you're not supposed to do. And God has been highlighting that to me a lot recently. All these verses about, like, oh, I can't remember where the exact scripture, what it was in, but it was about the idea of, like, if your enemy does something wrong towards you, then you should greet them not with the same type of retaliation, but with kindness. And then I know it had went on to say something about the Lord, like, will recognize that. Something about heaping coals of fire onto their head. Like, it was just very, I was like, wow, I need to change how I am. So this past week, I've been practicing that a lot. And someone had come in the other day, and literally yesterday, was being kind of unkind to me and over something I didn't do. And old me would have thrown her cone in the trash. But knew me through Jesus, I literally apologized to her, even though I didn't do anything wrong intentionally or even kind of at all. It was more of like, I don't control the chemical components of chocolate hard shell. That's not really my forte. But I was like, you know what, ma'am, you're right, I apologize. And she told me someone else had offended her with it before, and I was like, I'm so sorry that somebody treated you like that. And it was weird, as I walked away, it felt like, these were not my words, I swear. Tell me why I go, yeah, don't worry, I'm not the type of person who would argue with you. What? Like,
yeah.
Like, no, actually, I used to be.
Used to be.
Yeah, I it was like,
I remember being kids.
Stop.
I would never go against her because I would, there was no winning. There was no getting through to her.
Guys,
she was very set on
my ways. Yeah,
very.
Well, I wanted to be a lawyer, so
yeah, and she was good.
Thanks.
Very good.
Not,
no, well, at,
we gotta be careful, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Well, yeah.
But you know what? Getting her point across.
Yeah. I've decided, not decided, it has been called upon me that I still have, I don't want to say those, well, let me, no, I still have those gifts.
I'm using air quotes if you're watching through a, not YouTube, but
I'm trying to use them for good now. Like,
yeah.
I'm much better, like, I can articulate myself, I feel like, and I can prove a point, but why don't I use that to spread the gospel instead of going around ruining people's days? Yeah, like, God gave me that gift, and I was definitely abusing it. Jesus, forgive me, please. Mm. But that doesn't mean that I have to throw it away. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And it also helps to think about, like, before you react to anything, think about, oh, well, how would Jesus react? Or what would Jesus do? And it really makes you reevaluate before you act.
Yeah. And I feel like that's what I did. And I had went after, and I was kind of explaining the situation to someone with that woman. And I was like, if she's getting that, you know, stirred up about an ice cream cone, I wonder, like, what's going on in her life.
Yeah.
Maybe she's living in this misery for years and years and years. Because she was, you know, she, like, old, way older.
Yeah.
Or maybe something bad just happened, and who am I to make that worse? And, you know, when she left, I'm like, you have a blessed day. I say that to everybody now.
And one act of kindness really has a ripple effect.
Yes.
It really does.
You want to talk about that book?
Ooh.
Just bring that really quick. I love that.
So I'm reading this book. It's by John Burke, and it's called Imagine the God of Heaven, about near-death experiences. And this woman, she I forget how, but she had died for a little bit, and I think she was in a coma for about 5 days, and she was talking to Jesus, and he showed her an evaluation of her life, and he showed her some of the good things that she had done. But she said, it wasn't something that I had felt really good about that I was expecting to see. It was something that she had even forgotten about. And it was her in a grocery store. This woman didn't have enough money to buy what she was going to buy. And she was like, oh, no, like, I got you. And she gave her a few dollars
And later on, Jesus showed her that same woman in the future, later on, working in a food pantry, giving out food to people who need it. And he's like, I wanted to show you the ripple effect of just one act of kindness. Yeah. And that stuck with me. It's so true, because you never know
what people, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Yesterday, after that woman had came in, I was like, I don't know, it just, something about being kind to her, like, really made my heart feel good. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, God's been putting on my heart recently to stop being so greedy with my money. Because I just, you know, it's hard just being, like, young in college and just trying to get by without a career. But, you know, I always try, like, if I see someone who comes in and if they're struggling, not even financially, but if just whatever they tell me, I will take care of them, like, all the time.
I've also heard many stories of Jesus can be anyone. Like, you could be face-to-face with him and not know it. And so, if you were to treat everyone as if they were Jesus, the world would be such a better place.
I don't know. I feel like I've just been so pushed into, like, thinking recently and using my own common sense. Mm. And that kind of applies back to this whole thing of sin of, like, when I was doing, like, a little study on, like, sexual sin of, like, it doesn't specifically say in the Bible, do not have sex before marriage, but it implies it and says it in different ways and, like, mentions fornication and all these things. And I kind of had said to Alyssa in my journal that I let her read, where I was like, he doesn't say it specifically, like, in the Ten Commandments type of way for a reason, because we're supposed to have that personal relationship with Jesus. Like, there was intentional room left, because we're all so different. Like, even though the Bible applies to all of our lives, even 2,000 plus years later, it leaves that space for us to get specific with him. Like, this is my situation. Like, maybe someone else doesn't have that same thing, but when it comes to me, God, how do you want me to handle it while using your word and the personal convictions you give me?
Exactly, because we all have our own personal relationship with him.
Yeah.
And our own personal convictions.
I'm sure if someone else comes to Jesus with the same question of, like, what is evolution, because I have so many differing things on it, and, like, people even define it wrong sometimes, but he approached me in this dream, if it was, anyways, I'm so careful with my wording, but he was kind of saying to me, like, gave it to me in a way that I learn of, like, you need to think about it and come to me and just, you know, all these different things, put it together and figure it out, versus if someone else came to him, maybe someone's a visual learner, so he would have in the dream put up some, like, visuals, or, you know what I mean? Or maybe someone really, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe someone learns by lesson, so they would be given a life lesson from God to figure something out. Like, it all just kind of varies, and even though we have foundational, like, this is sin, this is why you shouldn't do it, all these things, it's important that you also go to Jesus.
I love that. I want to talk about our free will, because, you know, we all have free will, because that's how God chose us to be. He limited his power so that we could choose to love him, or we could choose to be of the world. And, you know, someone could argue, well, I could do whatever I want, but whatever we do, there's repercussions and there are consequences to our actions as well. So God will allow us to do what we want, but that doesn't mean that there won't be those consequences. And that goes with Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, when he says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. And that,
just kind of, just because you can do something really doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Perfect. No, I just wanted to hop. I'm
sorry. Yeah, no. But that's so true.
Yeah, no, I just think you can even take it to extremes. Like, we could, wait, let me not. I was about to say something crazy and radical. But basically, just because you can go out and be mean to people, I don't really think we should do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? The idea of, like, you know, as a kid, you don't know much. You know, you come out the womb, you've never experienced Earth. I, oh, you never have, and you go to touch the stove, and your dad is like, oh, honey, like, don't touch the stove, like, it's hot. Like, yeah, you can reach and touch it, but you probably shouldn't do that. And you are faced with two options. You can listen to your loving father who wants the best for you and knows better than you, and you could not touch the stove. Or you can be like, well, I'm a toddler, and I know better because I can do it. And you go and you touch a stove, and you get burned. And from there, you get burnt. Now you're also faced with more options. Do I want to take my hand off and never touch a burning stove again and say, Dad, you were right? Or do I want to go touch a stove again and get burned because for some weird psychological way, I like getting burned? Like, there's so many. It's like a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And you're always faced with these choices. Like, he will not give you a temptation that you cannot overcome. Or sorry, let me reword that. He will not allow you to face a temptation that you cannot overcome. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could give you. Well, like, I'm not going to get into it. You guys know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's like that idea of, like, it ultimately comes down to you, like, the devil can tempt you, but
God will always provide a way out for you.
And he cannot control you.
Like, yes, the devil will put thoughts into your head, but he can't make you do anything.
Yeah, that's you. That's your flesh. Like, you want to give into it. I can think of so many things. Oh, like, I'm coming out of a lot of habitual sin and, like, issues right now. And the temptations, like, when I first was leaving these things behind, you know, right away, when you're, like, saved from these, well, not, like, saved from these things, you're gonna kind of feel set free, but then the temptations will kind of come back. But I always tell myself, like, sometimes for a couple months, I just have to rough it out and really rely on God, and he will give me the strength. And think about it, in a year, you may still have these temptations, but they will not be as strong as they are now when you're, like, just coming out of it. Like, you have to have faith that he's going to deliver you. You have to pray for it every day. Better that, and you're slowly moving in that direction, than you consistently choosing to sin because it's too hard to leave it, and you're going in the opposite direction. Like,
if he sees that you're trying, he will help you. You just need to bring it to him, honestly. And you don't, I love this analogy too, you don't clean yourself up before you go take a shower. Just like you don't get yourself better before you go to a doctor. So, and that is Jesus for us. He will cleanse you. He will fix you. We are all dirty. We are all sinners. But if we go to the healer himself, he will heal you from any traumas you're going through, depression. The devil has no hold over you. That is a lie. And your soul belongs to Jesus. So,
and keep it that way. Don't you have to be strong, and when you feel like you can't be strong, you need to lean on the one who is always strong. That's important. Don't let yourself fall back into old habits just because they're comfortable. Sometimes you have to be uncomfortable. That's just how it is. Like, it sometimes is good as well to look long-term. You can look long-term of, if I keep doing this in 30 years, this is who I become. You could take it even further. If I die in 50 years, where am I going to go based off these choices? That's, the road to heaven feels like hell, but the road to hell feels like heaven.
And that is so true.
You can go out, get drunk every night,
go clubbing, go partying,
have sex all the time, do all these things, and it maybe the fleeting feel-good feeling is something you want, but where is that taking you? Like, be honest with yourself. Are you going towards God, or are you going towards somebody else who you probably shouldn't be going towards?
And if you're 1 foot in the word and one foot in the world.
I love that.
He calls you to get out of being lukewarm. It's like, if you get to heaven and he literally says to you, I never knew you, depart from me.
Just not something you want to go towards. And so just really quick from where we are talking about just the consequence of sins, while we kind of wrap it up slowly, just to read in Romans really quick. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 6, verse... I'm going to do verse 11 and then skip to 14. where it says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. And then verse 14 says, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Mm. Then, skip to verse 15, where it says, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Which ties back to what you were saying in, or what you were reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 of all things are permissible, right? Mm-hmm. But not all things are beneficial.
Yeah.
And then it kind of goes on to say, you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And then down to verse 23, where it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Mm-hmm. And sin is so serious. The wages of sin is death.
And that could mean literal death, like you're out here doing drugs and, you know, you even having sex with people who have STDs and you catch that and could die. Like all these things that literally could lead to death. But then you also have spiritual death.
Mm-hmm. Which is separation from God.
Yeah. And even like a metaphorical death of like, I'm out here, I'm smoking every day, I'm drinking every day, I'm so empty, like I'm like a walking corpse. Mm. Which is kind of the same as spiritual death, but you know what I mean? Like there's layers to it.
Yeah.
And you just have to be aware of that. And again, take a step back, look at yourself. Am I sinning once and falling, or am I choosing to engulf my life in sin? Am I living in obedience, which leads to righteousness, or am I living in sin, which leads to death?
And we've been there.
Oh yeah,
we have truly just been so empty and trying everything to fulfill us, and nothing ever did. And you could get everything you want, but you will still be chasing more.
Yeah, so empty. That's like, you can gain the world but lose your soul.
Yeah.
You could have everything but be unfulfilled.
For what will it mean if a man will gain everything in the world but forfeit his soul? I think that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's real, and it's, we're not coming at this to condemn you, but to just, I really want people to take a step back and just think about where they're at in life, where they want to be, where God wants them to be, and just pray about it. Like, God, if my heart is not in the right place, please correct it.
Yeah.
You don't want to choose to live in sin.
It's you can ask good. Him, please reveal to me the things that I'm doing that you think need to be changed, and he will.
He will.
He really will. He will answer your prayers. Mm-hmm. Seek and you will find. Knock and that door will be opened.
That's where I got the whole self-control thing. I had been avoiding being in, like, the secret place because I just felt like I was doing a lot of things wrong, I guess. But once I finally got there, he literally gave me like the root of my problems. Like, and I was just saying the other day too to someone, like, I feel like I've just been given this really interesting gift, and I almost feel like there's like, it's so weird, like I can't actually see it, I don't even know how to explain this, but like a list of everything that I need to fix in my life, like, and where it all comes from. And it's just, it's really interesting. And now I'm kind of on this journey of like, how do I fix that? Like being nice to that woman, or paying for someone in line, or controlling my tongue, not eating crazy amounts when I know it doesn't make me feel good, not falling into addiction, not falling into lust, and just seeing how God takes me through that. But it's so interesting to kind of have all that in front of me. And I wouldn't have gotten that if I didn't ask.
Same thing with, you know, the music and the things that we watch. It really does affect you. If you're listening to songs that are about murder or sex or
drugs,
like, you're kind of allowing that into your life.
And it's bad. If I could talk to anyone out there, please don't do drugs.
Please.
I know this is so random, but it...
it's only temporary.
Yeah. And even like alcohol and drinking, it's so normalized to go to the club every weekend and just get college. Drunk. Yeah. Alcohol is a drug, and anyone who tells you different is lying.
Because when you get drunk, you're not aware of what you're doing, and that's where the enemy get to you the best, because you're not in your right mind. And
it's like a ripple effect.
Yeah, that's why it says be of sober mind.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. No, seriously. And people just like breeze over
they brush
that.
Over it, but you know, but it's he's important. Doing this because he loves you.
Yeah.
And he's not telling you to not have sex because he wants you to not have pleasure. Yeah. He's doing it for your own good, to protect you, because he knows the ripple effect that it has on you.
Yeah.
And you're not guaranteed to be with this person forever.
And we'll have a whole episode.
Yes, we will dive into that.
I have a lot to say, unfortunately.
All right, well,
we're just gonna pray for you guys really quick. Yeah. If you want to close your eyes and join in with us, we'd love that. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to start and I finish?
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for allowing us to be here right now and able to talk about this. And I just want to pray over everyone that is listening and hearing this, that whatever struggles they are going through, Lord, that I would pray that they would bring it to you, and that they would, you would help them acknowledge their sin and whatever traumas or hurt they are going through, and whoever has hurt them in the past, Lord, or presently going through, I just pray that your supernatural peace would protect them, Lord, and you would comfort them and just guide them closer to you, Lord. I pray that their hearts would yearn for you and be on fire for you, and that they would just go to you and not run away. I just want to pray over their mind, that whatever schemes the enemy has, that I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And I just pray that you would truly, truly chase after them far faster than they may be running away from you, Lord.
Yeah, just thank you, God, for putting us in this position to be able to talk to at least one person who's struggling, living in habitual sin, backsliding in the faith. God, I just want you to put it on their hearts that you want the best for them, that sin separates them from you, and that just that the feeling is not something we should be putting ourselves in. God, I pray that everyone who's watching this and listening to this is washed by the blood of Jesus, that they don't turn to sin, God, that they understand the sacrifice that you made for them so that they could be set free from sin, God, that they don't turn back to it, but that they turn towards you, and just that you would give them peace and convict them. And I just trust you that anyone who's watching this is just going to feel your love and turn towards you and pray to you, God. And yeah, if you want to end it off.
That was beautiful. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We say this all in your mighty holy name, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much for just sitting through this and listening. We hope that it really touched you and that it was able to speak to you, because we've all been there and we're all going to struggle.
And we just hope you have a blessed week. We'll see you next Sunday. And
we love you. Jesus loves you more. We'll see you next Sunday.
Bye.